Sagemont Church is a gathering of Christian believers in the southeast area of Houston, Texas. Today's message is from our senior pastor, Dr. John Morgan.
Now, I hope you have your Bible open to Exodus chapter 20 and Matthew chapter 4. Exodus chapter 20 and Matthew chapter 4. Now, today's message is entitled, What is True Worship? I'm going to be talking to you in the next 3 weeks about three different things. I'm going to be talking to you about today about worship. I'm going to be talking to you next week about praise as taught in the scripture. And I'm going to be talking to you on the third day, on the third Sunday that I'll be able to preach to you on the teaching. The three things that are so critical as we have such an incredible facility in which we can use to the glory of God, that we understand what worship is, we understand what praise is, and we understand what teaching is as it relates to the holy word of God. And they're not the same thing. And we get confused a lot of times, and we mix them all together, and then we sort of pick and choose, well, I like this part, but I didn't like that part, but this was okay, and that was magnificent, and we're not even sure what we're looking for. And so on Sunday morning, we call this our worship services, that we tell the whole world. We have at Sagemont 5 different worship services on Sunday morning. Now, the key is, as we make our move, and by the way, you know, I know, because I've been around a long, long time, that an overwhelming majority of people, they see, okay, we're going to get out of this box and go get in another box. That's a nicer box with more comfortable seats and better acoustics and more to work with, and we're just going to jump from box to box. That is not what's fixing to happen. We are not fixing to jump from one box into another box. We are going to have an incredible amount of ways that we can worship the Lord, and we are going to be looking at every aspect of worship and what it is, regardless of what service people come to, that they know they are coming to a worship service and that God is going to be glorified. And the thing that I want you to pick up on today, that God's word makes it very clear as to what worship is. And worship is not some of the things that a lot of folks think it is. And you'll see that. These other things are good, as long as we understand what they are. But football and baseball are not the same things. Doesn't mean that baseball's right and football's wrong. It means they're not the same. And God has a way of talking about teaching of the word, about praising Him, and about worshiping Him. And when we understand that, not from what some man thought up, but what God's word is clear on, then we have a better comprehension as to where we fit into the picture. So I want you to stand with me as I read from the 20th chapter of Exodus. We're going to start with the Old Testament. What is true worship? And as you look at chapter 20, verse 1, let me read to you 8 verses. And God spake all of these, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and the fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Now, would you listen to the book of Matthew, the fourth chapter, verses 7 through 11. Jesus said unto him, this is unto Satan. Jesus said unto Satan, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he saith unto him, all these things I will give thee, if you will fall down and worship me. And then says Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And then the devil leaveth him. And behold, his angels came and ministered to our Lord Jesus. May God bless the reading of his word. Thank you for standing out of respect to the word. Now, let me first of all say to you this morning that worship is not something you create. It is not something where people get together and create a worship service, because the Lord has established it from the beginning of time. He has said, I change not. He says, my ways are higher than your ways. And worship from the very beginning of time was taught even to Adam and Eve, that no other god should they follow, no other person should they witness to and or listen to. They should simply learn to revere God, to worship God, to love him and to respect him, and to know that he will do what he said he would do. I have just read you a scripture that says, if you don't worship me, it can cause a problem for your children and even your children's children. And we are dealing with that today, where we have many people that are 60 and 70 years old and their children are not in church this morning. And when you go back and you look, there are some things that happen that we look at, we ignore, we pass by, and we wonder what in the world is happening. Not in the world, but in our churches. Last Sunday was an exciting day. The excitement of people being here was electrifying. As I called the guests on Sunday afternoon on the telephone, many of them expressed to me how they felt the excitement of being here. Sunday evening at 5 o'clock, 864 people filled this auditorium down lower floor here, all of whom have said that they are willing to serve the Lord in some form or some capacity. Because you see, as you will see as I preach, worship and serving are synonymous. They tie together. Not synonymous, but they tie together. You'll talk, the Lord said, you'll worship and me only. You will serve me and me only. And he will put the two together. As you worship me, I will assign to you your responsibility. And you will take what I assign to you and you will do it to my glory. As pastor, I get to hear more than anybody else, when are we going to move in and what kind of services are we going to be offering? That is my two questions that come the most. When are we going to move in and what kind of services we're going to be offering? When are we going to move in? I've told you that that's like asking, when is Jesus going to come? But I will tell you, we're moving on schedule, as you have heard rumored. But we will have to find out when. City Hall still has a big control of that. Well, what kind of services are we going to offer? Worship. You understand? Worship. Yeah, but I want to know. No. You don't need to know that. We're going to worship. And any one of them you pick, we're going to worship. And when you leave, you're going to know, I have worshiped the Lord. I have sensed his presence. I may not have heard my favorite song if I picked the wrong one, but I tell you what, I met my favorite person, and his name is Jesus. And the Holy Spirit was there, and power moved throughout the services. I truly was in the presence of the Lord. You know, in the Christian family, there's all kinds of folks. You know, the Bible says when you get saved, you're what? You're born again. Well, have you ever been around babies? They cannot understand. They just can't understand. You ever try to explain something as to your six-week-old baby as to why they should eat this or do that or not do that? I mean, babies just don't understand. Now, children, they will not understand. They could, but you're not going to teach me anything, you know. I'll do what I want to, and I know what I want, and I know what I like. And then there's adolescents. They can learn to understand. And then there's disciples. They will understand. They will understand. Whenever you go through life, you know, as a parent, you begin to understand. And as a grandparent, you begin to fully understand. You fully understand you didn't do it all right when you were growing up. And you also have one of those days when the Lord reminds you, no, your children were not perfect and never gave you one moment's problem. Some way or another, you will recall something where one day they were little sinners that ran around the house just like everybody else's kids were running around the house, and they had some problems that had to be dealt with. But anyway, the stages of spiritual life are the same thing. I mean, as a pastor, I've got to deal with the babies. I've got to deal with the children. I've got to deal with the adolescents. I have to deal with the disciples. I mean, it's not easy to do. It is not easy to do. Mother, it's very hard to plan a meal for your family when your grandchildren come over and your children are there and you're there and your mother's there. And you're trying to have everything for everybody. But somewhere there is a point of oneness. And you know where that is? It's in worship. When you understand that everything we do in word or deed is done to the glory of God. And God is worthy of our worship. And He is worthy of our praises. He is also wants us to teach truth to whoever comes into our presence and to make disciples of them. But God is the final authority. I will guarantee you, if any six of us get in a room and we have a discussion as to what kind of worship service we ought to have, we will have six different opinions. If everybody that's in the discussion, if all six of them are Baptists, we will have eight different opinions as to how we are to go about doing it. As Frank Rigsby, who is leading our visionary team, his favorite saying at the committee meeting, you know, opinions are like elbows. Everybody has one of them. And that's kind of what it's like when you try to figure out, well, what do you want? 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 Preacher, what do you want? You know what we ought to say? What does he want? Yes. And you know what? Challenge me on this if you like. God's word tells you what he wants. Right. He tells you what he wants. The Greek and the Hebrew word for worship means to bow your head, to bow your knee, even to prostrate yourself before the Lord, to prostrate yourself before the Lord, to revere Him, to humble yourself. And those words in both the Old Testament language and the New Testament language are the same thing. When a church gathers together to worship, we must understand the magnitude of our being certain that when the service is over, we have pleased God. That we have pleased God. That we understand He is looking. He is listening. He sees what's in here and up here and also what we do. Every decision we make, whether we're leaders or attenders, should be made in the light of what will please the Lord. What would please the Lord? And worship can take place in limitless places. You can worship at home. You can worship outdoors. You can worship indoors. You can worship wherever. But on Sunday morning in the house of worship, worship should take place. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, and come and forsake not yourself from assembling yourself together, but come together and worship me and serve me, and good things begin to happen. If you'll go through your scripture when you get home, and this is a limitless list, and I just have time to give you a few. Go back and study Joshua. Every time Joshua went into a battle, he worshiped. Before you went into the battle. Any of you facing any battles this week? Or are you thinking, yeah, I got to go before the IRS. You know, I've got to, you know, whatever. All right, well, then it's very important for you to worship today.
That's right.
Listen to what Joshua Fifth chapter of Joshua, 14th verse. And he said, "Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth, and he did worship. And he said unto him, "What saith my Lord unto his servant?" You see, he humbled himself, and he said, out there fixing to go onto the battlefield, "Speak, Lord, I'm listening." When you worship, there has to be a time to listen. There has to be a time when the performance stops and the worship begins to take place. And you begin to bow your head and close your eyes or kneel and ask God, "Oh God, speak to me. How can I know what your will is for me?" And so when Joshua went onto the battlefield, many people are going to come and do come to our church. They're on a battlefield. They're going into battle this week. It's very important that we worship. Abraham's servant is another example. He sent his servant to find Isaac a wife. Maybe somebody's going to be here today looking for a wife or a husband or a life partner. Maybe they're looking for a job. Listen to this. Abraham sent his servant to find Isaac a wife. And in Genesis chapter 24, it says, "And the man bowed down his head and he worshiped the Lord. And he said, Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth." Then when Abraham's servant found Rebekah, after he said, "Wow," in Genesis 21:48, he says, the scripture says, "I bowed down my head and I worshiped the Lord." When God answered the prayer, he worshiped. He didn't run back up to the church to worship, but when he was, he worshiped. I wonder how many people come and pray for a new job, and the day they get it, they bow their head and worship God and say, "Thank you, God. Thank you for answered prayer." When Rebekah's parents agreed to release her to become Isaac's wife, the servant worshiped again. I mean, this guy knew how to worship. I mean, whenever they said, "Yes, we will let you have Rebekah for Isaac's wife," the scripture says in Genesis 24:52, "And he worshiped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth." Three times in just a few verses in Genesis 24, this servant worshiped. He worshiped when he asked. He worshiped when he saw her, and he worshiped when the freedom was given for her to come and be Isaac's wife. The children of Israel. When you go and study that story, when Moses told them that God would deliver them in Exodus chapter 4, verse 31, they bowed their heads and they worshiped. They bowed their heads and they worshiped. You know, whenever 911 hit, I don't know where you were, I happen to be right here. And this building was standing room only. I mean, this nation was flat scared to death. I wonder if God would bring revival in this nation if the buildings would still be full to say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you for hearing our prayer. Thank you, Lord, for protecting our land. Thank you, Lord. I praise you. Yes, but I worship you today." When told to keep the Passover, the children of Israel I'm talking about. In the 12th chapter of Exodus, verse 27, "And the people bowed their heads and they worshiped our Lord." You remember Moses? He went up on Mount Sinai to get the law. And people began to plan their own worship. The man of God went up to the mountain to get the way to do it from God, and while he was gone, the people began to plan their own worship service. They got him a golden calf. They got him a program. They decided what they were going to do. And when Moses came down, he was very, very much upset, and so was God. And he goes back up the second time. And when he goes back up to Mount Sinai the second time, it's in Exodus 34, verse 8. "And Moses made haste, and he bowed his head toward the earth, and he worshiped." Before he went back, he worshiped, I know, and asked God, would you please take my people that I love so much and protect them from themselves? And may worship be what worship is supposed to be. You see, as we move closer to the date of moving into our new facility, every person that has one bit of interest in the things of God, that are part of this church, or plan to be a part, or considering to be a part, ought to seek the Lord. Lord, what would you have me to do? How can I please you, Lord? Can I please you by being a part of Sagemont? Or could I please you more by going somewhere else? And Lord, if I become a part of Sagemont, Lord, teach me how to glorify you. Teach me how to keep my focus so that I don't get diverted by all this other kind of stuff that happens, and just come in and worship you. The priority of every person that is a member of a biblical church ought to make worship the priority. The priority. No, it's not going to Bible study and not coming to worship. Does that make Bible study bad? No. And I'll tell you about that in a couple weeks. It's wonderful, but it doesn't replace worship. Not for you to get more biblical facts and more notes for your notebook so that your notebook will be bigger than the other people you have lunch with, or for you to have something on Tuesday to talk about where you can just wham them with your knowledge of the Bible. Hey, let's worship. Let's worship Him. Let's just be still and know that He is God. And let's have services that will focus on that. And what every single person ought to take into consideration when they've chosen the place together with other believers, when they've chosen that place, as Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day of the Lord approaching. Now, here's some thoughts. This is your homework. This is where the ball comes into your court. Number one, will I go to worship? Will I? Is worship important to every person on the Sabbath day? What does the Scripture say? It says, worship and serve me. Worship and serve. Worship and serve. Worship and serve. Together. Worship and serve. I'm not going to serve and I'm not going to worship. I'm going to go to Bible study and I'm going to go home and get my notes in order. Or, no, I'm going to worship. I'm going to humble myself and I am going to be willing for people to understand that worship is important to every believer, including this believer, and I am going to make sure that when I gather to worship, that I will worship. So will you go? Did Jesus go? The New Testament says, as his custom was, on the first day of every week, he went and worshiped. Yes. You want to be like Jesus? Well, then you're going to find a place to worship. Yes. If you can't worship Sagemont, you need to find a place to worship. Now, when you come to Sagemont, when you drive up, the first thing you ought to see is the cross. I don't know how you can get here without seeing it. What should that tell you? God loves me. If you come in the front door, the next thing you're going to pass by is the empty tomb. I'm fixing to worship a God that is risen. He is no longer on a cross, and he's no longer in that tomb. When you enter the building, you're going to look up, and you're going to see a mural of faces from around the world. And the Bible says, go therefore and tell them what you're experiencing today. Jesus died. Jesus rose. And the world is waiting to hear the gospel. And when you walk into that foyer, one of the most godly living artists today is painting a 45-foot mural, 8-foot tall, that will have the core values of this church and faces of people from all over the earth. And it doesn't matter who you bring, they're going to identify with somebody up there on that mural, that Jesus loves that group of people. God loves them. You're going to sense excitement and anticipation. You're going to feel welcome, and you're going to feel special. And you and your family or friends will be offered numerous venues of Bible study, numerous. numerous ones on Sunday and Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and on through the week that are going to be offered to those that come here. You will hear God's word in the worship services from the pulpit, regardless of who the preacher is. You will be in the midst of a gathering where numerous lives are going to be changed by the power of the word of God anytime you come here, and you will be afforded an opportunity to worship. That is my promise to you. And so, what are your responsibilities? Please let me meddle for just a moment. Your responsibility, number one, is to be here on time and to stay till it's over. I think I just missed it. Well, you see, Brother John, don't tell me, just tell him. You know, we're talking about him, and we're going to come and worship him. And, it's kind of hard for me to get up, at my age. I'm 35 now, and it's hard for me to get around. And when you're young, you blame it on the kids. When you're old, you blame it on your health, or your neighbor, or your wife, or your husband. Well, I'm always up, but, she kind of drags her feet and all this kind of stuff. If we're going to worship the Lord, you don't walk out on God.
That's right.
And you need to be here when He shows up.
That's right.
He is the honored guest. He needs to make the triumphant entry, not us. And so all of us have got to look and say, I'm not going to be a distraction to others that are worshiping. I'm not going to come to somebody that's got their head bowed in prayer and are kneeling and say, excuse me, please, could I have that seat right down there? We had trouble parking out here. We're going to be on time. Hey, by the way, I'm not preaching to the Sagemont folks. I'm preaching to every church in America. I've been to a bunch of them.
Yes.
They all, 20 minutes late, 25 minutes late. They come in, and they have their little sermonette and have their favorite song, and they take off and go wherever. But folks, we're talking about the King. We're talking about the Lord. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. And my friend, any kind of a distraction Satan will use to stop the message that's going out to somebody that desperately needs the Lord. With all the people that pass that cross and write and tell us that they were contemplating suicide, and just by seeing that one picture of the love of God, it changed their life. Let me tell you, there's a lot of people come here on Sunday morning, weeping, broken, shattered dreams. Bad news has come to them. And everything we do ought to focus on Him. He alone is a great physician. He alone is worthy of our attention. And certain things that we do are so distracting. Again, arriving late, leaving early. Small children that come into the building that are saying in baby talk, I don't like that preacher and I don't like any of the music. I want to go to the children's building where I can have my own service. Would you please come early and let me stay over there? And as people listen on the radio and they watch on television, and the little baby is saying, I'm not getting a thing out of this, and I'm going to see that you don't either, Mama, and you don't either, Daddy. That won't fly if we're going to worship. I thank God this church built that $13 million children's building before it ever thought about building a worship service again. We had both on the table, and we made a decision to take care of the little ones in a place where they'd be safe and comfortable and can feel the love of God and learn about their hands that God gave them and sing to them and all the things. And you can go over there and watch it behind one-way glass if you want to see. That's where the children want to go. And that's extremely important. Cell phones and texting during worship service, appropriate dress, all of those things we've got to look at. If He is going to get the attention, if He is going to be the one that we focus on, we must focus on what He requires. Humble yourselves and worship. John chapter 4, verse 23 says, but the hour comes, and now is, when true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Spirit and truth. Spiritual and truth. When we worship in the Spirit, it allows us to have communion with God. One of the greatest decisions this church ever made. And I almost think it was you, Stella, that brought it to my attention. But if not, it was somebody as sweet as you that came to me one day and said, "Pastor, why don't we offer communion every Sunday to our people?" "Well, because we're Southern Baptists and we have it quarterly." Not anything in the Bible about that, you know, but it sounds good if you're a good Southern Baptist. You don't want to break tradition. But anyway, when we went to our deacons were unanimous and said, "We're going to do that." Amen. And today you can have communion. And you can go there and you can worship. If you don't worship anywhere else today, you can go in that room. And for just a few minutes, you can have an incredible worship experience. Yeah. As you see the shed blood, the broken body symbolized of how much God really loves you and cares for you. Yeah. When we worship in the Spirit, we receive the assistance from God's Holy Spirit, and our prayers are going to be answered according to His will, according to His will. You see, that's what brings in answered prayer is the Holy Spirit. He is the one. When He is glorified and He is honored, oh, He doesn't always give us what we want, but I'll guarantee you one thing. When you worship God and you leave here, He will give you what you need. And what you need is far higher than what you want and far better than what you want. That's what worship is all about. That's the reason that we do it. Well, one thing is for sure, and I've got to close. Our flesh is at war with our spirit, and our spirit with our flesh. We just can't shake it. Paul couldn't shake it, and we can't shake it. But here's what Paul learned to do. He learned to trust the Word. If God said it, that settled it. If he didn't like it, it didn't make any difference. If the Scripture said this is the way it's to be done, and it was done that way, I mean, Paul said, "I'm going to do it that way. I'm going to honor you, Lord." This is why we have so much difficulty. This is the reason that all of us as leaders, and I as pastor, under such pressure, is this Scripture, Galatians 5:17, "For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would." As long as there's flesh and spirit banging on each other's heads, you will never have what God wants you to have. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's power and conviction and comfort and assurance and encouragement, and on it goes. But our flesh is so strong. I mean, people will fight you over some things around churches, almost. You know, if they wasn't afraid that God would zap them with lightning, they'd probably want to fight you. And for 45 years, our church has had a one accord church, and that's the only reason God has really blessed us. Because the one accord was we centered around the Word of God. We said we're going to love each other. And even if I don't agree with you, you know, I can disagree without being disagreeable. And when God is in the place, the world begins to recognize it. Let me tell you something. Ananias and Sapphira, you remember what happened when they came to the worship service? And they thought they would kind of cheat on their pledge and lie. And they carried them out on the stretcher. Let me tell you, the next week there wasn't a whole lot of unsaved folks that showed up at that church. I can guarantee you. You don't want to go in that church because the Spirit of God is in there. The Spirit of God is in there. And God's temple is our body. But He gives us a place to worship and come together and use our spiritual gifts and then go out having been trained to serve the Lord. So we've got to test the spirits. 1 John 4:1 says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they're of God." Because, listen, many false prophets are gone out into the world. The hidden treasure of God's truth are revealed to those who worship in the Spirit. You know how to keep your theology right? Learn how to worship. You know how to know where you're supposed to serve the Lord? Worship Him. You want to know how to handle situations in relationships between other people, whether it's marriage or friends or whatever? Worship Him. If you want to know how to pray for this country, worship Him. If you want to be secure in a financial mess, worship Him. When you want to have peace that passes all understanding, worship Him. And every one of us that lead at your church should focus on worship. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Worship Him and Him alone, and serve Him and Him alone. In 1 Corinthians 2:10, but God has revealed unto us His Spirit. He has revealed unto us His Spirit, His Holy Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. I want us to close with that this morning. As Galatians 5:22 says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. I want you to go away today sensing my heart and my deep conviction, and that is that worship is important to God. Very important. I will even say to you that if we don't worship correctly, none of this other stuff will ever happen that we want to see happen. I know that you're going to be prayerful, you're going to search the Scripture, and you're going to say, Lord, what would you have me to do? I'm doing the same thing. If you think we're just fixing to move some services over to another building, you're going to be shocked. You're going to be shocked. Because that's not what it's about. But I tell you, God wants this church to be a church that's known for its worship as much as anything else you can name. And when we learn to worship, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all of these other things will be added unto you. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, as we close this service, we realized that You just love us so much. You're so forgiving. You're so understanding. And Father, it's hard sometimes to look at Scripture and so we can find something to convict somebody else of, and then look and we get convicted instead. I pray, God, Your forgiveness for times when I have not had my priority right, when my thoughts have not been Your thoughts. And I pray, Lord, that You will just come upon this people with more power and clarity than any people that's ever lived to know what You want done until You come back again, and we believe it will be soon. And so, Father, bless every leader. Bless every servant. Bless every person that walks in these doors. It's my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
We pray that today's message has brought you to a closer relationship with Jesus Christ. Join us Sundays at 8, 9:30, and 11 a.m. at Sagemont Church in the Worship Auditorium. For more information, check us out at www.sagemontchurch.org.